Star Trek, the TV program from the 60s.
These are the commentaries of the siblings Alex and Sammy.
Their ongoing mission? To discuss creative science fiction concepts.
To examine interesting character dynamics and occasionally terrible writing.
To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
In a world filled with so many true crime podcasts comes the original siblings. This is Sammy.
It seems this woman was murdered by a batleth. She got 10 batleth stabs in the back and a phaser burn to the face. Thankfully, we can just use this holographic recreation machine, and it will show us exactly how she died and who killed her. So we're just going to pop this up real quick. Yep, looks like it was a Klingon. So,
her husband.
Looks like it was that, her husband, the Klingon. Gorbachev. Just unfortunate, you know, just unfortunate that he happens to
Dare
also be named that.
That
yeah, but, looks like we're gonna have to arrest him, so, guess that's another case solved. Dun, dun, dun. Great.
And
wow,
he's
that one was in the bag. Oh, yeah, I'm Alex. Yeah, were you introducing yourself? I missed
I
that.
I think I said she's Sammy or I'm Sammy or something. And so it was
yes,
just, it was weighing
are.
On my soul that I really didn't
yes,
happen.
We're the siblings. I said, yes, and, but not that.
I think you should said just and. I'm just kidding.
Fair. So welcome to the show, everybody. This is Star Trek, the original siblings. That was our brief true crime segment. Yeah, we are not.
As much as I love a true crime podcast, as all white women do.
Right. It seems that in the era of Star Trek, true crime podcasts went the same way as, you know, TV and regular bands that aren't classical bands and movies. They don't seem to have any of these things in Star Trek world.
Yeah,
so.
Just a big, like, cultural chasm of nothing.
Yeah, everyone just plays an instrument, but only for their own benefit.
Like, yeah, exactly.
They're playing alone in their room mostly.
And every time they play like modern music, it's like boop, you know, just like garbage.
Yeah, like, do you think it's like jazz? A matter of like they didn't want to commit to like any specific type of sound for like what people would be listening to in those eras, so then instead we just have like a void of any of that? Or do you
think
it's
which
like...
I think is a bad choice because we're committing to so many other things, you know, so why wouldn't we commit to music?
Yeah, and then there's just no TV at all. There's not even the news. Mm-hmm. Like, except for in Picard. But I don't feel like that's a good example of what Star Trek is like, because that kind of feels like it was made by people who'd never seen Star Trek. Because he's on like a Good Morning America type show at the start of one of the seasons, and they're like,
what?
So Picard, you spent your whole career being an asshole, right? And he's like, no, what? I'm 100
like, gotcha.
Years old. And they're like, yeah, gotcha, Picard. You hate Romulans and androids. And he's like, what? No. So... Anyway, that's kind of what you missed on Picard if you haven't been watching.
Yeah, interesting. But, like, I mean, honestly, like, I know you will hate to hear this as a person who works in the TV industry, but it's like, who's to say TV is going to last, you know?
What? What will I do all day if I'm not watching TV? And commentating on the TV I watch?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that isn't the best thing.
I feel like my thing is watching TV and talking the entire time. So if I can't do that, like, I might as well not exist.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm gonna
exactly.
start going to the gym or something. I do need to go to the gym.
Real talk.
Anyway, how's it going, Sammy? How's your week?
It's been a crazy week and a crazy weekend. I'm feeling kind of tired, so hopefully I will still be as energetic and fun and delightful and cool and sexy as usual, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yes, we are. You remind me, we are a week late this week.
Yeah.
So, sorry everyone, sorry for the week late. Every time that we take an additional week off and then we come back, I always come back being like, oh my god, I've completely forgotten how to do this. Like, we've never done this before. Like, you know, we've done, like, almost 40 episodes, but it's, like, an extra week is always, like, too much for me. I'm like, how do we podcast again?
Everything. Yeah, I get it.
Right? Yeah. What's the order of the segments?
Well, luckily we have them written down, so, because I never remember.
I had, I think, an opposite week to you. It's been rainy and crappy here, so I basically have not, I pretty much haven't left this desk all week.
Oh.
And I went an extra week without shaving longer than I usually go, and every time I do, I feel like I look like,
Commander like Riker? Some sort of... You don't. I'm just kidding.
No.
Sorry.
I was going to say, like I'd be like Commander Riker, but if he was in prison for a year and he got out and he, like,
totally.
Looks all crazy, he'd be like, I've been in that cell for a year!
Uh-huh.
Actually, I think they do that with O'Brien in an episode, so I could be like O'Brien in that episode.
Where it's
like, I just feel like it goes from, like, a nice beard to a crazy person beard really quickly. It's like,
the line is
blurry.
What's that on your neck? Do you have a hickey?
No, I was just looking at that, too. What is that
it
on my neck?
It looks like a hickey.
It's the size of my thumb. I was like, was I sticking my thumb into my neck? Like this? Why would I have been doing that? Anyway, this has been Alex's Neck Spot Corner.
We'll keep you updated. I'll keep an
right?
eye on
We'll
it
let you know, soon. Yeah, as the, I'm sure it will evolve as the show goes on, or it will just become more prominent. I got a Star Trek question for you, Sammy.
Perfect.
So if you could write an episode of Star Trek, if you can just pitch like a perfect episode, like what is your episode that you think should be written in this show?
Well, they
and
never
you don't
do...
have any more time to think about it except right now.
Yeah. They never do a body switching episode, which I feel like is a missed opportunity.
They do. The last one of the season.
Oh, I'm of season three. Yeah, you're right. I'm specifically thinking everybody's bodies are mixed up.
Oh yeah. And also like a good one would be, you know, like
yeah, not just
there's a funny story.
The most
to be told
sexist
there.
Thing you've ever seen, yeah.
Right, yeah, because then it would give the actors something fun to do too, to have them all play each other like that. Like
exactly.
I bet they'd like that.
I think it'd be really fun. What about you?
Good call. I don't know. I have elements of an idea.
Uh-huh.
I think okay. Firstly, my favorite part of every episode is the first third where they go to a mysterious planet that they don't recognize and they wander around
totally.
And they're like, what's going on this weird planet? Like, you know, we're exploring some sort of distress call or something. The planet's purple. I got that because I know purple planets are my favorite ones. So, so that's for sure happening. And then once they do find out what's going on, maybe something like maybe like a good version of what are little girls made of, like sort of a thing where it's like there are androids and there are people and we're having to tell them apart, kind of Blade Runner style. I always like anything where we're trying to trying to find an android among regular people. They do a decent bit of that in Deep Space Nine with they got the changelings that can look like anybody, and they do the thing test where they take the little blood sample.
But it looks
and then
like Nomad,
into,
right?
No, not that changeling. That's funny, right? It's like just like the regular Star Trek who the Nomad's there. He's like, and I am Takata Sulu.
Into that Rick and Morty episode.
Yeah, exactly. He's just not convincing at all. There have always been six of us. let's see what else is going on in the universe out here. Let's open up our hailing frequencies.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
So, we've just opened up our subspace frequencies so that we can receive messages from the outside world. Most of them come in via email, which you can also send to us at stosibspod@gmail.com. If you send us one of these subspace messages via email, we'll read it right here on the show, which is what we're just about to do. We have two messages this week.
Woohoo!
From, from some people you may be familiar with.
From dot dot dot.
And let me just say for the record, we do have a decent amount of listeners. I feel like this segment implies that we have three listeners that write in every single week.
I love them.
I do love them. But I mostly want them specifically to know there are other people listening. Like, you know who you are if you're out there listening and not writing in right now. You know that you're there, but they don't know. Sam B doesn't know if he's, the only fan. It's Samuel B.
Woohoo!
Yeah, the Admiral. He's the man. And here's what he had to say. Good day, Alex and Sammy. We are a big fan of multicolored nutrient cubes here at Starfleet HQ, but unfortunately, I must advise you to discontinue eating them, as per the recommendations of the Federation Health Directorate. We did some testing, and the cubes are actually... The music. I just can't. Hang on. I just can't fix this music. It's so loud.
It actually sounds good for me.
Maybe we just meant to jam.
Just embrace it.
Oh yeah.
My, like, the sound panel thing just, like, doesn't work sometimes. It just, like, it has a mind of its own. And when I put on Sam B's theme song, it's like, oh, all the way up
the whole
time. It
takes over, yeah.
It does.
It's like the red alert of our sounds.
There we go. Okay, Christ. Wow, that was really a battle. Okay, where was I?
The cubes are testing, actually...
And the cubes are actually 20% Horta juice, 8% Gorn saliva, and 0.1% Corbomite. So, if you eat too many, you will quite literally lay rock eggs, turn into a lizard, and then explode.
Oh my god.
Never should have outsourced manufacturing to the Ferengi Alliance. Actually, I think that's what happened to Yaman Ran. She kept on eating all those cubes that Kirk wasn't finishing.
Uh-huh.
Because you know how he likes to just have one or two of them and then send her away.
Yeah, exactly.
He says, if you want to see Uhura being awesome, I highly recommend watching Star Trek 3, if only for the scenes where she forces a guy into the closet at gunpoint. It's one of OG Uhura's most iconic moments, and I'm going to court-martial those who robbed her of having more.
Agreed.
He says, I don't have much to say about Cat's Paw because I fell asleep both times I tried to watch it.
Oh my god, that's so fair.
Yes, absolutely. All I really remember is Chekhov's shitty wig. The general vibe I get is the Squire of Gothos with Doctor Strange cosplay thrown in.
That's exactly
which
it.
Is spot on, yeah. He's on point there. Spotify Wrapped is here, and wouldn't you know it, you guys were my top podcast.
No way!
This has been a rough month for me, and it's only the 7th as of the writing of this email.
Uh-huh.
So I'm always glad when there's a new STO Sibs, and I can forget my troubles for an hour and a half.
Aww.
Thank you again on behalf of all of us listeners.
Thank you, Sammy. That's so sweet.
And he, if you scroll down a little in the script, Sammy, you can see he included the picture of his Spotify plaque
for being a top listener.
Oh
my gosh, that's awesome. Damn.
Right? Yeah, probably
cool.
Probably not too many of these going around, so, you know.
It's a limited edition.
Laminate that or something, right? Anyway, he says, I always talk so much about myself, but wondered what you two would like to share. How you record and edit the podcast, or if you have any favorite moments from it. And we'll double back to that. I'll finish reading his email here. He says, now I gotta go. I ran into some witches and I'm still high from the giant space doobie. Oh god, there's a giant cat and I think spaghetti cord turned into a penne rigate. Somebody help me. LF and GF Admiral Samuel B.
Oh my gosh. That's so awesome. That's Spotify Wrapped. Damn. That's really cool. We are honored.
Right, we are. Yes, thank you. Thanks for making us your top podcast. Yeah, we're glad to have you here. Makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, Alex, do you want to answer some of the questions and give a little glimpse behind our curtain?
Sure, I'll give a very short technical answer because I'm sure some people will find it boring, but probably some people will find it interesting. So I hope so. So let's see. I mean, we've each got a microphone here. I got Sammy a microphone on the other end of the country over there.
Mm-hmm.
And we are talking to each other through Zoom, but we're recording on the microphones through Audacity. And then we have an application called, which is a, you know, sound recording podcast. We have an application called Hero that lets us watch
sound recording
the show
program
together remotely. It's pretty much the same thing as like Netflix Party, if you remember that, or whatever what's that called now? I forget. We had to get
viewing
this app
party,
Hero, because it's the only
something.
One that works for, yeah, I forget. But Hero's the only one that works on Paramount Plus, so that's why we got that. So we're able to do it all. So I've got, you know, a couple of big monitors set up here, and I got a soundboard on one of them that you hear me struggling with constantly. We got a Zoom window in front of me. I got the script in front of me, and I got the recording software up here in front of me, and I'm kind of watching the levels, which I'm mediocre at best. And that's kind of the recording process. The editing now all gets outsourced to Ross, which is great.
Hey, Ross.
Hey, Ross. Yes, and Ross does an excellent job for us and makes our lives much easier. So there's a lot of cutting dead air that has to happen, and, you know.
No way, I'm always
more
saying things.
More than you might think, right? Anyway, so that's a little bit of how we record it.
Yeah, and from my perspective, Sam B, I just show up and say things.
Yes,
just for a little glimpse into that. Kidding.
Yeah, sometimes she forgets to charge her headphones.
Sometimes my microphone faces the wrong way. It's okay. It's cool.
Oh my gosh, you did do that for almost a whole episode.
Yeah. Wow. Now every time I look for the little red light.
Yeah, so there's certainly hiccups along the way. Yeah.
We're definitely a very, you know, a small, you know, couple of people recording a podcast sort of operation. We don't have a big, we don't have any sort of mixing board or anything happening yet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one day.
And I feel like for me, like, my favorite moments have just been, like, creating a cute little, like, nerdy community where we all just, like, hang out and have, like, are just, like, playful and talk about Star Trek together. I think it's so wonderful.
Yeah, it is so fun. Yeah, it's definitely been a fun, you know, starting from just us talking about it and now getting, you know, now bringing more people into our conversation and feeling like we're all going to talk about it together and getting more perspectives and stuff is really fun. So definitely this is a favorite segment for that reason.
Yeah, and not to be all cheesy, but it does feel like a community to me, you know.
Yeah, we love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be on our top Spotify thing.
Alex doesn't have Spotify. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He uses Apple Music.
I don't.
Guys, I know.
I bet on the wrong horse years ago, and now I'm just committed. I'm like, well, this is what I have.
Alex, do you have a favorite moment or moments you want to share?
I love this segment. I really love that we hear from Samuel B every week and that he has his own theme song. Was definitely and coming up with that theme song was definitely a highlight for me. I also love any time we do any of these like special extra segments, mm-hmm. stuff like the Star Trek merch, real or not real.
Uh-huh.
Those are definite highlights
are so
for
good.
Me. So I love doing stuff like that. And then just watching the episodes together. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's so fun. The whole thing of it is a lot of fun. So
yeah.
I love coming and doing this every other week. It's a good old time.
Yeah.
And so thanks for joining us, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, oh my gosh, wait, I have something fast to share.
Yes.
Okay, so whenever me and my girlfriend are watching anything, as you guys might imagine, I just talk the whole time. Like, mm-hmm. I never stop talking ever.
It's hard
great.
To picture,
she loves
but yeah.
it. But anyways, the other night, I was like not feeling good and I was like, I need a comfort movie. So obviously we watched Star Trek 2009. And she was like, that's the quietest I've ever seen you be during a movie. Because I just get so into it. And I'm just like entranced, just staring at the
like,
screen with my mouth
I can't comment
open.
On perfection.
There's nothing left to say. And also, I've seen it like 100 times. So like, what more is there to say?
I was just editing a blooper of an old show that we've done that we did back in the day, Sammy, where
uh-huh.
you're talking about that movie specifically. You're suggesting that we all go watch
it.
Since 2009, I'd say.
Yeah. Whoa, you're right.
Sammy, you want to read our next message here? It's from
yes.
Lieutenant Junior Grade Kern.
Woohoo! Okay, here's Kern. Sims, I hope you enjoyed your family reunion more than the hot mess that is Cat Spa. We did. Star Trek was going to air on October 27th, so the production team was happy to get a script they thought would work well for a Halloween special. They should have kept on looking. They threw a lot of money into Cat Spa, including, as you were wondering about, creating the sets. If it wasn't for Halloween sentimentality, I wouldn't rewatch the episode. The writer for Cat Spa, Robert Bloch? Block? Horrible name either way. Also wrote
based on the script, I'm gonna say blotch.
Blotch.
He blotched it.
Also wrote, what are little girls made of? So he slipped in a second reference to the old ones. God, shut up about the old ones, Blotch. Jesus.
So like, I'm making this a runner.
Oh my god, yeah, it's like and it's so lazy. Anyways, Kern says, so the entities that created Corby's androids also send Korob and Sylvia into our galaxy. His initial script had Sulu dying on the transporter pad. The production team told Blotch you can't kill a regular character. So that's why we got Crewman Jackson, a.k.a. the Jawline. Who is this motherfucker
this is
who thinks he can write these god-awful scripts and kill Sulu?
And kill Sulu.
Are you kidding
All right.
me?
What a lunatic.
God, I hate him.
I can't believe he had to be told that. He's like, and in this episode, Kirk dies.
Yeah, you're it's like no,
he doesn't.
God, what an idiot.
Listen to this about Jackson, though. This is great.
Okay. Jackson is played by Jay Jones, the same stuntman who is injured in Who Mourns for Adonis and The Apple. He fortunately didn't get hurt when he made that spectacular fall this episode. Damn, thank God. They were not kind to stunt people. Which, I mean,
great.
Who was, but still.
That was his thing.
I wasn't wowed by Theo Marcus's portrayal of Korob, but he sadly died in a car accident only a month after Catspaw aired. Oh my god, I bet it's because they said the Scottish play's name.
He said the name of the play.
I also wasn't amazed by Antoinette Bauer's portrayal of Sylvia. Arlene Martel had also tried out for the part of Sylvia. They liked her so much, they chose her instead to play T'Pring. That was a wise choice, since Martel owns that part. Wow, that's crazy. And the actress for T'Pring is like, so good and Sylvia, sexy and cool. Yeah.
They were like, this Sylvia character, who really gives a shit about her? Like, let's put all our good actresses on T'Pring.
They were right.
They did make the right call. It's just funny to think that this character was totally, like, secondary in terms of casting to them. It's like, yep, that's about what it feels like when we see it. It's like, they were like, yeah, whoever, cast whoever. If they're good, don't make them play this role.
I also agree that Mike Barrier's portrayal of DeSalle fell flat. The thinking between seasons 1 and 2 was to have DeSalle as a recurring character to take over in engineering when Scotty took command of the ship. Oh, I literally didn't remember who we were talking about. He was the guy who was the boring captain.
Yes.
Or, like, yeah. Not captain, but, you know, boring commander.
Yeah, he was in charge, even though Uhura should have been in charge.
But they dropped that idea since they were already having a hard time writing in much of the other secondary characters to do. The other secondary characters to do. Like, obviously, you have all these great performers. Like, we don't need another, like, hot white guy. Like, F off.
Who can't act in the middle of all this. Yeah. It's just like, yeah. Use the guys we have here.
This is making me real mad.
I know, yeah. I'm feeling Nichelle Nichols' pain in this episode.
Yeah, man. These poor regulars. Some random tidbits. They apparently had a really hard time getting the cat to move on command. In the remastered version, in the remastered version, they removed the strings that were holding up the marionette of Sylvia and Korob. Oh, the little guys.
Yeah, at the end, the little versions of them.
Switching topics, thanks for the shout out on Trexperts. You did a good job. I definitely didn't know all the answers. Good job as well catching the error about which episode had Chapel's fiance. There were at least 2 other errors in the questions. Of course, Kern knew that. Star Trek debuted right. in 1966.
He's like, I didn't know the answers to all of them, but I did know more than the host.
And I believe it. Star Trek debuted in 1966, not 1967. Kirk's brother appeared in Operation Annihilate, not This Side of Paradise. Damn, Kern. So fucking cool. Jesus. And then Kern says, Merry Christmas, Lieutenant Junior Grade Kern. Damn.
Merry Christmas to you, Kern.
Merry Christmas, Kern.
And good catches.
Yeah, seriously.
And good notes on the episode. Now I'm properly educated on it. So they did build all those sets. That was impressive.
I know. What a waste. I'm so sorry, really. But
what a waste. I hope they like reuse it on a future episode or something, but
I don't think they will.
They don't. No, yeah. They even built a miniature set for the cat to run through, which I think is literally used in one shot.
Damn, that's so crazy.
I know because I saw that episode. You know, yeah. Yeah, right? Especially with that script, yeah.
They can't all be
poor,
good.
Poor art team put forth all that effort. Yeah, right? They can't all be good, apparently. But wouldn't it be great if they could have?
Well, it wouldn't be great if they, like, knew which ones were good and which ones weren't and just, like, didn't waste a bunch of resources
could allocate
on
the finances specifically,
you
right?
know?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, what
they wouldn't
you
be
do?
Star Trek if they could.
Exactly. Anyway.
Thanks for writing in, you
this.
Guys.
Yes, thank you both. We love hearing from you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the music that I can faintly hear is telling me that it's time for Alex to guess the plot. So I'm going to tell Alex the name of the episode we're about to watch, and he is going to tell me what it's about based on what he knows about Star Trek in general, but having no knowledge of this episode. So Alex, the name of today's
episode. Catspaw 2, The Return of Kitty Cat.
Yep, and then after that we have Catspaw 3.
Catspaw
3. Welcome to the Catspaw podcast. The name of the episode is iMud.
No, I thought this was gonna be last week's episode.
I know you did.
Oh my god, how did Catspaw and iMud end up right next to each other?
Well, and I just want to say, like, they have one, like, recurring character in the whole show, and it's Mud, you know?
He's the only one that
comes back.
He's the
only one
like
who comes
this.
Back, yep.
God, what a catastrophe of a decision. Oh my God. And that's so funny. I was just remarking a couple weeks ago about how, like, wow, so many good episodes in a row. This is crazy. Like, it's like, yeah. Yep. You gotta pay for that on the back end, I guess. They front loaded all the good ones and they stuck all the bad ones here. Mm. So here we are with iMud. Okay, so Harry Mudd, of all people, is discovered once again floating out in space. And he now has an army of android sex robots. And he's planning on using these sex robots to, I don't know, do the same thing as before, probably. He's probably just selling them. But you know, they're a lot easier to manage than the women that he was getting addicted to drugs in the previous episode that he originally appeared in, where he charmed us all and won the hearts of Americans everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. And it's only getting darker for Harry Mudd. Now he has robot just sex slaves.
A bunch of drug addicts and trafficking victims.
Yeah, he wants to use the robots to seduce everybody. He's like, look, the skin has warmth. Like, you know, he's saying weird stuff like that. Real, fully functional, you know what? They're like, you know this is illegal in this part of the galaxy.
Wait, who's saying that? Harry. I'm sorry, I'm just kidding.
You can't have robots having sex with men. It's not right. And then one of the robots is like, are you sure about that, Captain? And he's like, oh, well, maybe I'm having second thoughts. Later, Kirk goes to his room to find one of the sexy robots in his room.
What?
Of all things. Oh my God, who'd have expected it? He's very tempted, but because he's so noble and good-hearted, Kirk says, no, this isn't right. I can't sleep with this robot. But he also doesn't sleep with any real women in the episode either. He just mentions that he doesn't want to sleep with the robot.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely kisses her passionately.
Wait, where does he hold her when he's kissing her passionately?
By the cheeks, yeah. It was funny. I was picturing that when you said that. He's holding her cheeks, not her shoulders, but he's holding her by the face.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those ones, one of the more aggressive kisses.
Yeah.
She's like, please show me the ways of your human pleasure. Only you know how to have sex, and I have never learned before. I must learn at the feet of the master. And he's like, I'm going to Spock's room. Then he goes to Spock's room, and he's like, I got the whole episode here. I feel like I figured it out. He goes to Spock's room, and he's like, so these robots are kind of strange, huh, Spock? And he's like, the understatement of the century, sir. And then he's like, and then Bones comes in and is like, hey, they're really sexy, huh? But all
Bones
just cold,
covered
hard
in,
machine
like, cartoon kisses on his face.
Right, yeah. He's like, disgusting. I completely don't approve of this what he's doing. But maybe we should buy a few from him just for, you know, our own experimentation's sake. Some of the other crew guys are really into it, though. Like, Scotty's like, absolutely, yeah, I will fuck a robot. Like, anyway, eventually they tell Mudd he has to get rid of them, and Mudd's like, well, I'm going to tell them to fucking kill you then. And the robots rise up against Kirk, and ultimately they kill the robots somehow. They shortwire them, I bet. Spock comes up with some sort of, like, radio signal that can knock them all out at the same time so we don't have to actually punch the women. And then Mudd, for whatever reason, is, like, not charged for anything. He's just, like, kind of sent on his way. They're like, well, you better get out of here, you rascal. Like, you better not come back with any more crazy sex women in the future. We totally don't want that. And he flies away going, and that's what happens.
Okay, I honestly feel like I might have just, like, deleted this episode from my memory, but I feel like there was a, like, I think that your synopsis has quite a few grains of truth in it.
Okay, I had a suspicion.
I think it's,
I thought,
like,
I was
pretty
onto
close
something.
To accurate. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
Man, I just
that
love
my,
that.
That was
like,
my longest
anytime,
guess the plot yet.
Like, anytime anything progressive with women happens on the show, I feel like, I mean, and granted that hasn't happened in a minute, but like when it does happen, then I feel like for the next couple episodes, they're like, but remember, women are objects,
right?
You know,
they're secondary citizens in spite of all those nice things we just said about them.
Women are for fucking. Woo!
Yeah, right? They were so progressive in something, but feminism
was
not one of
them. But just way too horny to be normal, unfortunately.
Let's take this moment to name all of the best feminist moments from this show. Let's see. They cast Uhura.
Which is the last fucking thing they did for her. Can I just say?
Yep. And then they had an episode with a lawyer lady who was kind of competent, named something like Lorelai.
She was one of the few competent women.
She was in an episode
but
one time.
But she had a romantic past.
With Kirk.
With Kirk.
Yep. All right, now your turn. Now you name a moment. I name two.
Women are around.
Not that often, though. Some episodes we go,
not
sometimes we go an entire episode or two without seeing
important.
One.
Write in and tell us.
Yeah, if you can think of a moment that's happened thus far, not one that's coming up, one that's already happened in the show, a properly feminist moment.
Uh huh.
I feel like we already named
it. I can just think of every time Uhura does anything and she's cool and confident and competent, you know? And how they don't use her too often for the romantic things, but they definitely do, you know?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, there was a part where she was fixing a control panel while Spock was kind of instructing her. And she was like, Spock, I cannot go any faster. And he was like, all right, then keep going the speed you're going at, I guess. That was
like,
kind of feminism.
City on the Edge of Forever, like, he's like, he like leaves Uhura in charge when he and Spock go through.
Sure. And then Edith Keeler herself is like kind of empowered.
Yeah.
Right? Although
yeah.
she causes
I mean,
the end
she,
of the world
she changes,
by...
She doesn't cause the end
so,
of the world. She just
by living.
This is
anyway. Maybe this one. Maybe we're turning a new leaf this week, though. Maybe this will be the feminist episode.
I guarantee it will.
I've got a feeling this one's gonna have a lot of good things to say about women.
All right, let's go. I guess.
And now for our feature presentation.
I cannot believe they chose to do this again.
Chose to do what again? Oh, mud? Yeah.
Mud.
Yeah, mud's really something you only want to do once, if that.
I can't quite pinpoint it. Perhaps you're making a rather hasty judgment. Mr. Norman has only been aboard 72 hours.
These boys are so cute. Doesn't strike me right. They're literally always
so gossipy.
Bickering.
Labels do not make arguments.
Like, right. They can never just, right. Like, every time they see each other, they're wrong, like, it's time to fight. Conversation never
varies from the routine. Yeah, Bones couldn't even make an offhand remark about this guy. He's like, that guy's kind of weird, huh, Spock? And Spock's like, no, shut up, you don't know anything. Spock. But why do you say that, though?
it's odd for a non-Vulcan. The ears make all of it.
This is just how they flirt, though.
Arguments strewn with gaping defects in logic. Maybe, but
that's not the only thing I like to have gaping.
Ew.
Sorry.
For physical exam without reason. That's not at all surprising, Doctor. He's probably terrified of your beads and rattles.
No, see, now we're talking about beads and rattles. I mean, come on. The subtext in that scene. It's hardly subtext at all.
What the fuck? He, like, that wasn't even a... He just, like, pushed, touched him, and he fell down.
Karate chopped him in the neck. It's everyone's
like,
weak point.
Barely even a karate chop, though. He just, like, lifted his hand and, like, prodded him.
It's like the Jackie Chan one-inch punch thing.
There
it's
you
like,
go.
Or is that Bruce Lee one-inch punch?
I just know
the one-inch karate chop.
Yeah.
I like that it was literally seconds after Bones being like, I don't know, this guy's suspicious.
He's like,
and Spock being like... Yeah, and Spock be like, no, you're crazy, Bones. And then a second later, the guy walks in, karate chops someone else. Yeah.
Auxiliary control, what's going on down there?
Sir, auxiliary control is on total override.
Kirk to security.
Security, Lieutenant Rowe here, sir.
Don't worry, guys. Kirk is wearing the flattering shirt that doesn't make him look chubby.
He's obsessed with this shirt. He wants to wear it every episode. Of course, Mr. Sullivan.
It's like a little tummy is not a bad thing, William Shatner.
Well, this is like the Star Trek equivalent of like if he was wearing like a tuxedo every episode, right? Like, and everyone else was wearing like a regular suit and he was wearing a tuxedo the whole time.
But also, we saw the same thing in Next Gen, where like Picard always wanted to wear his snazzy leather jacket, you know?
It's Picardigan. Well, that was just awesome.
But it's the same thing as the captain being like, actually, I need to look better than all y'all.
Right?
I need to look hot. The
controls have been jammed. They're totally unworkable.
Any sign of the intruder?
No, sir. He's gone. I've put out a full security alert on all decks.
God, if only we had security cameras on this ship.
Oh, God. It's so basic. An unscheduled
ride. Interesting.
Yeah, it seems insane that we don't.
Cut an emergency manual monitor. I want the override broken. Sir. The instruments won't respond. Emergency manual monitor, report.
This is Captain Kirk, acknowledge.
This guy's huge, dude.
Yeah, he is. He's going through each room one by one. The next system that they were going to need,
like,
knocks them out too.
He's barely touching anybody.
He's an android.
Oh, interesting.
He doesn't need to punch them very hard. He did just do a double-fisted hammer punch, though.
Which, as we know, always works. 100% accuracy.
I actually think that last punch, I think he just fully missed the guy.
Like, I know, I was thinking the same thing.
Like, yeah, right as you're commenting that he's barely hitting him, I'm like, he did not hit that guy just then. Like,
Captain, he's here.
Scotty.
Okay, Scotty, you, like, barely got touched. Stop Scotty. Being such a drama queen.
Security.
He got, like, poked, and he's like, oh, no.
We're pitching at speed. Warp 5, 6, warp 7, sir. Cut power. I can't, sir. All the controls are jammed.
Yeah, man.
Oh.
Oh.
Will not be necessary, Captain.
He's on the bridge now.
He's on the motherfucking
bridge.
Man,
that was one efficient android.
Look how teeny William Shatner look. It's a little baby boy.
Security, we found the intruder.
He's the hashtag short king.
Mind telling me what this is all about, mister?
I am in total control of your ship. I have connected the matter antimatter pods to the main navigational bank.
I sure hope he's an android, or else he's a terrible actor.
The alter course will result in the immediate destruction of this vessel.
Spock?
Confirmed, Captain. He's taken out all the override controls.
Seems really easy.
Yeah, it sure takes one smart, strong person to fuck up our whole operation. Good thing Spock's
in less than a minute, you can take complete control of the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
I assure you, we are no threat to humanity. Or humanoid life.
Thus implying that he is not a human?
But we require your ship.
You require... Who and what are we?
Why couldn't you just ask for it?
Those are new.
He's got a radio in his bicep or in his abdomen.
That's his tummy, yeah.
That's his tummy, yeah. I just know muscles so well that I know that you're, abdomen's in the arms, right? And your biceps in your gut.
Stomach bicep.
Yeah.
Man, you do need to go to the gym.
Man, his chest glutes are really robotic, too.
His chest glutes.
So, we got robots.
Okay, but you gotta admit, you're having fun so far.
I have a suspicion I'm going to really enjoy this episode.
I think so.
I just don't think it's because of how great it is about to be.
It never is.
Like,
you
the
see
hook
one of the greatest episodes and you're like, I don't know. And then you see just like a garbage episode with great props and costumes and you're like, wow.
Hey, that's more like it.
You are the ideal audience member for this show.
Right? They, I like that they opened by being like, so there's a robot this week. We're like, we already did robots like three or four times
every other week.
Yeah, like we've done robots. Like, this is not the first robot we're meeting. This is not our first robot rodeo. What if iMud was just like an iPad, but it was Mud.
Oh my God!
Do you think people would use that product?
I would buy it in a heartbeat.
I cannot be overcome by physical means, and if you attempt to use your phasers, the trigger relay will be active.
I think he is a bad actor. I'm just gonna say it.
Present course for approximately 4 solar days, at which time...
Maybe it was like a, you know, a generous casting that they were like, oh, well, yeah, we're going to give you a part. And they were like, robot, definitely.
They're like, we need
a
big boy. Yeah. Programmed to respond in that area. Yeah, he's a terrible actor. But he's very good looking. I mean, like, interesting looking. And good looking.
Good looking, not great skin.
Not great skin, yeah.
But I think that was more of the time period.
I mean, I think there's still people with acne scars.
Yeah, but I feel like everyone was just, like, greasy and oily and splotchy back then, and that was, like, what they did for, like, their diet and for, like, their hair and skin care. They were like, your skin needs more, you know...
Grease and oil.
Your skin needs to be more oil. Put some grease on it. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Not a hurrah. Her skin is perfect and beautiful. Now, we
are entering orbit around. They were pretty quick to just be hostages to this guy for 4 days.
I know, that's so funny. They're like, well, okay.
Yeah, usually they would have tried like 20 escape plans by now.
But like, I mean, it's not like they're on a mission right now. They're like, whatever, we might as well go where this guy's going.
We could have, yeah, we do have 4 days to kill, so might as well.
That's what I'm saying, you know? They're like, we can just go on a weird love road trip.
Science officer, medical officer, communications officer, and navigator.
He's like, those are the best characters.
All the stars. He's like, and you're sure you don't need our chief engineer or a random ensign with terrible hair?
Hey, his hair looks good in this episode.
Does it? I haven't really looked at him yet.
What if he got to the end of the list and he was like, and yeoman?
And one yeoman. For no reason. Have her bring her best princess dress.
Every yeoman is always actually wearing a princess dress under their other outfit. It doesn't seem possible, but it is. Uh-oh, Alex, green planet, not purple.
It's a piss-colored planet.
It's highlighter yellow.
Yeah. Oh,
how dehydrated are you, buddy?
Yeah, that is a super dehydrated planet there.
Oh, Chekhov made the cut.
He did.
I thought they were going to take Sulu, but I guess they went with Chekhov.
Yes, did Chekhov get is he chief navigator now?
Yeah, because Sulu is the helmsman.
Okay.
Poor women is waiting. With big, big hair.
Huge hair. And, I don't know how to describe these outfits.
Yeah.
They look kind of like bubble wrap blouses that go down further on one side. Oh, look who we got here.
They're very A-line. Welcome aboard. Oh, I, like, didn't even see him because there were two hot twins on either side of him. You were like,
I know,
look,
I literally
like,
wasn't looking
more
at
more women?
Yeah. I definitely, yeah. So there's four of these women in this room. They got these giant beehives, and each of them has a necklace with a number on it. This is 66 mm-hmm. and 99 are flanking. Mm-hmm. Harry Mudd is in a throne. He's wearing like a military general outfit.
It's an improvement, guys. I gotta admit.
It
he's
is.
Still
he's
like
got
a
almost
fucked
like
up
a,
little man, but he doesn't look, he looks better somehow.
He's like a Kmart brand Versace.
Oh my god.
The man himself.
That's the best description I've ever heard.
Okay, here we go. Let's see. Oh, and one of these girls has a really genuinely gorgeous like wine what are these called?
Decanter?
Is that what it's called?
I mean, that's what you were trying to say. I don't know if that's what I would call
it.
It
is, but who knows if that's what that is. Anyway, it's a thing full of wine, and it's really pretty.
Write in and tell us what a decanter is. I'm just kidding.
Right? And he's got a goblet he's drinking from. Okay, so let's see.
There sure is a lot happening, guys. We can't describe
all
of it.
Yeah, hence having to pause it. In fact, I almost forgot to mention, he's also wearing a purple belt and what look like velvet pants and
big
boots.
Time. Yeah. The boots look like they go with a pirate costume
force.
That you would buy at Spirit Halloween.
Yes.
Oh my god, I forgot how much I hate this motherfucker somehow. God,
oh,
it's
Sovereign.
Just like,
oh.
If
I hate
I could reach through a TV and punch him. No intention of staying, I would.
Well, I'm afraid there's a bit of a problem there.
Oh no, they're being held hostage.
The android chick just took his phone and smushed it.
Now, Jamie boy, let's have no unauthorized communication.
You know this man, Captain?
Do I know him? Harcourt, Fenton, Mudd, thief.
Come now.
Swindler and con man.
Entrepreneur.
Liar and rogue.
Did I leave leave you with that impression.
He belongs in jail, which is where I thought I left you, Mud.
It's not. Nope, we all commented on how you didn't put him in jail.
Look round you, Kirk. Quite a place here, isn't it? I hope you're all going to enjoy it.
Mud, I want that trained machine of yours, Norman, to deactivate the trigger.
Norman.
Free my ship.
Captain Kirk has so much swag.
And I do the telling on this planet, Kirk, old boy. You do the listening.
Mud's got a little more of a piratey quality to him this time.
Ooh. Yeah, he's more pirate than leprechaun today, but that could change at any time.
Very, very nice place. And you're all going to be here. Quite probably.
I just love that the writers of the show were like, you know who we need to bring back.
I feel like we really didn't get the full potential of this character.
Look at Uhura. Uhura knows that she's in the presence of the most sexist man in the galaxy, which is saying something. Ding, 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 ding.
Just the visual of a hairy Mud on a throne is, like, already, like, a great, like,
with
that, that's enough
women
to, like,
the
justify them
outfit.
Being like, oh, what if we did this?
Decreed by
true.
Mud the First. Voted in by the resident population.
The resident population of mindless sex zombies.
That I made, probably.
I agreed that I should always be surrounded by it. And my decrees always come to pass.
I want to see if there's any indication of, like... Because we get a lot of androids, and the androids are always hyper-competent. It's like...
500 of them made up.
500, damn. Seems
and he's
logical
like,
to
and
think
don't
these
worry,
would be, like, not
I
great
always
androids.
Personally test their sexual abilities once they're they've been created.
All of them identical.
Why would they all be identical?
Compliant.
Because it's easier? To make a bunch
yeah,
of the
I guess
same
you only have one mold. Yeah.
Seems rather redundant.
Right? Yeah, that's what I
say. For this particular model, Mr. Spock, which you, unfortunately, are ill-equipped.
I love when they call out Spock for being gay.
Right.
They're like, F*** like right, yourself.
Oh, jeez. But yeah. That was definitely the undertone of what he was saying.
You can cut that.
I'll bleep it.
Speaking of available certain valuable patents to struggling young civilizations throughout the galaxy.
Did you pay royalties to the owners of the...
In our house, we use f***ing Dyke very affectionately.
How are these two even having a conversation with those two guys' giant moose knuckles in the background? If it cuts back to them. Oh, now they're gone. Go figure.
Free to all.
Who got you?
That, sir,
I think we'll see them again, so I'll just wait for it.
I sold the Denebians all the rights to a Vulcan fuel synthesizer.
And the Denebians contacted the Vulcan.
How'd you know?
That's what I would have done.
It's typical police mentality. They've got no sense of humor. They arrested me.
Oh, I find that shocking.
Worse than that, do you know what the penalty of a fraud is on Deneb 5?
Guilty party has his choice. Death by electrocution, death by gas, death by phaser, death by hanging.
The key word in your entire peroration, Mr. Spock, was death. Barbarian.
Which one would you choose?
He broke jail.
I think electrocution seems quick.
Yeah, that's fair. They all sound pretty shitty.
I don't want gas. I think I'm... Dying of gas is kind of the same as dying of drowning, I'm pretty sure.
That makes sense.
I got away, but I
think phaser would be not bad.
Wandered out through unmapped
space. That's true.
Space.
Yeah, come with the phaser.
Here I found mud.
You went to substantial risk and effort to bring a starship here. Logically, you must have a compelling motive.
Spock, you've got something here.
They He's like, I've got something more your speed, Spock, and then a bunch of hunky men walk in.
There are some in the background if it shows them again. They're the ones I was pointing to a second ago. Oh, there's 200,000 androids, huh? He's just got 500 of this one.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a whole android
God,
planet here, huh?
The most repulsive man.
I'm unable to discern your problem.
They won't let me go!
There's the guys back there. Look at them.
Oh, they're there.
See what I'm referring to?
Uh-huh. Big time.
You can't miss it.
Talking about Mud the First. Well, anyway, I ran out of ideas. I simply ran out of things for them to do. And they insisted that I bring them more human beings. They need human beings to serve, to study.
That's funny. It's a whole planet of like butlers and like butlers and cooks.
And I love that he's like, I've created paradise. And then he's like, actually, they're annoying.
It's like, all they want to do is help, and I'm the only one here to be helped.
Me here, and I get off this rock and back to civilization.
I think not.
You misunderstand me, lad. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. You've no choice. Show them to their quarters.
I feel like that's not the worst. Just do the same thing he did. Just enjoy it for a little bit and then find some other humans and leave them here and go.
There you go.
Harry, what's this?
It's like, this is my hole.
My glory hole. You may have noticed I've made it the size of an entire human. I like to see the other person's face while using the glory hole.
Ew.
Just some ugly chick.
Who is obviously a real person. She's not very good at holding still.
Right.
She's like, she's just got like a
robot lady with flat red hair. By flat, I mean it comes out into like a flat triangle on top.
Yeah, it's like a very like Queen Elizabeth I.
Mm-hmm. She's just standing Queen in Victoria? A closet.
Whatever.
And then bring her along.
I had the androids construct a perfect replica of Stella so that I could gaze upon her and rejoice.
Fucked up, man.
Why not just get like a painting of her?
Everything is insane. He's like, I just ask myself what a normal person would do, and I do the opposite. This is the wife he deserves.
Oh my god.
She sure is shrill.
Wow, that was some feminism if I'd ever seen one.
God.
That was. Wow. Hang on, yeah. I gotta like pause it. So Mud keeps a robot replica of his nagging wife in a closet just to the left of his throne at all times, just so he can walk over there and have it nag him and be like, thank god I don't have to deal with this all day.
Oh my god.
Which is
that sure won't come into play
later
on.
On so many levels, right? And then on top of that, like The very fact that Mud is married at all is, like, crazy. And then as, like, to that woman seems crazy. Like,
I also love that, like, McCoy is clearly enjoying this.
Yeah, he's kind of where we're at right now. He's like, what is this?
He's like, I can't look away from this spectacle.
Right.
We'll find this quite comfortable. Your quarters are down the hall.
If there is anything you need.
Yes, my ship.
We are not programmed to respond in that area.
I can Norman. Give you two guesses what they are programmed to respond to.
The makers designed us.
Right. Okay, so the women also, by the way, the women that there are supposedly dozens of.
They were, as you say,
or 500 of.
Uh-huh.
But unlike your
twins, the two actual women, because there's clearly two real ones and then the rest have been added in when they show up.
I think they're two twins.
But yeah, it's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, what a classic use of twins.
I know.
Civilization, robots were common. We performed the necessary service functions and freed our makers to evolve a perfect social order.
What became of them?
Our home planet Sun became a nova. Only a few exploratory outposts survived.
We had no one to cook and clean for. We made hundreds of shoes, but there was no one to wear them.
Some of your makers survived. No, Captain. They died over the stretch of time.
Whom do you serve now?
We serve Harry Mudd.
Oh, I bet he loves that.
You've given us purpose again. It is necessary to have purpose.
We lacked it for a long time.
Hmm. I don't know about the purpose you guys have arrived at.
We have a very extensive library section for your amusement. Our research laboratories and workshops are extremely well equipped.
I thought you said laboratories.
We might later. In the meantime, would you mind leaving us?
Why should we leave you?
Because we don't like you.
I love Sassy Kirk. You got rid of him. We don't like you. Bye.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't need to be polite to robots, he feels like.
Boo? Also, he just needs to get them out of there.
And if you say we're in a lot of trouble...
We are.
That was an unrivaled Kirk moment.
Boo?
Obviously, many androids cannot operate independently. There must be a central control system which guides the entire android population.
Try and find it.
You don't think there could be... You don't think each one could operate independently?
No, they're definitely like a hive mind situation.
Seems like you might as well build a brain in each one.
Yeah, but like there has to be like a higher intelligence.
Sure. That doesn't have to.
I don't know. Like it seems like there has to be something that like programs them, you know?
Sure.
Did I understand there are more than 200,000 of you?
207,809.
Spock's like, finally I'm talking to somebody who can be precise. Jesus.
Are all of you controlled through this device?
I am not programmed to respond in this area.
Oh, that's quite understandable.
These are our Barbaras.
Oh, Barbara! All these girls got the biggest hair.
Right. They're like, these are the even hotter robots to have sex with.
I should say so.
Well, I must say I like the styling.
Of course you must.
They were, of course, made to my personal specifications.
Oh my god, you guys are the worst.
The Maisie series, the Trudy series, and particularly the...
I love how this is just a tour of, like, sexy women's names by, like, 1960s standards.
Right? I know. I'm like, Annabelle has not really held up as a sexy woman's name.
Neither has Trudy.
Nor has Trudy, yeah.
None of our android bodies has ever worn out. However, the estimated duration of this model is 500,000 years.
500,000 years?
It's funny that Mudd has such a type that he would make the same woman 500 times.
He would.
Like, when you're in a situation where you could make literally any woman, and he's like, just this one.
He's like, I got big hair right brunette. Time. All right.
Yeah.
Rahara's like, I can't help but notice that everybody's white.
Right? And there's not a lot of sex male robots around here.
No, there's not. Mud is not bisexual.
They've got a lab down there that, well, I could spend the rest of my life studying.
There we go. That's like exactly what I said he was going to say.
Uh-huh.
Almost nobody's staying anywhere.
Stubborn Kirks.
Yeah, I did say Spock was going to find a way to shut them all down at once. I was pretty darn close with a lot of this.
What kind of a woman? Fun, Lord.
Splendid, splendid. Welcome to Mud, Mr. Scott.
Harry Mud. Oh, you Borgus. Rat, you.
Borgus? Was he trying to say bourgeois?
You were ordered to stay aboard.
Is Borgus a word?
And I stayed.
Maybe that's how you say it in Scottish.
What does she mean, the last one?
Didn't I tell you, Kirk? I beamed a few dozen androids up to your ship. They've been sending your crew to the surface for the past couple of hours. They're all down now.
I love how Mud just has, like, the air of, like, a pimp or, like, someone who is, like, a manager of a strip club. Like, he's just, like, the skeeziest guy.
He's so slimy.
Yeah.
They learn very quickly, Captain. The fact is...
Look at how the way Kirk is choking right now and, like, holding his neck flab.
I know!
Why are we doing a commercial? It's not like Kirk's gonna kill him.
He might. He should. Oh, he's, like, roping his boob.
Harry, he's doing the shoulder grab. He might kiss him.
Well, who's to stop me?
Starfleet.
Ah, but now, Captain, now I have a ship of my own and it's as fast as any in the fleet. How will they catch me, eh? Just think of it, Laddiebuck. Harry Mudd, with his own crew of lovelies aboard your vessel. Think about that.
I'm trying not to.
Alan!
He could successfully accomplish it, Captain. I've questioned a number of the androids, and they are totally loyal to Mudd. Perhaps of more concern is the fact that this android population can literally provide anything a human being could ask for in unlimited quantity.
Yes, I know that's what worries me.
What does that mean?
In a world where they can have absolutely everything they want simply by...
You know, like the shoe thing I said earlier, they could make an unlimited amount of shoes. Oh, Chekhov's sitting in the big chair now.
Oh, yes.
It's just like... Who would actually enjoy this? They're being held captive, you know? Like, I feel like it's a huge assumption. I mean, of course, Chekhov. I think Chekhov is, like, valid, but, like...
Right. I suppose it's also the lack of imminent danger. Like, there's a danger, but it's not like they're being directly threatened. They're actually being pretty well taken care of.
Yeah, but he's stealing their ship and, like, stranding them on a planet, which is a problem.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Kirk choked him for a minute. But the shame you're not
real. We are real, my lord.
I hate this, my lord, nonsense. This feels yuck.
Oh, I mean, real girls.
We are programmed.
Yep, here it is.
Yeah, well, I know.
You are?
Yes, my
lord. Is this some... Do you feel like this is the most...
Yes, my lord.
That unprincipled, evil-minded, lecherous kulak Harry Mudd programmed you?
Yes, my lord.
I feel that this is the most, like, pure version of this show. This is like, this is like what they wanted
what
to
is.
Do from moment one.
A
yeah.
boy on a throne being waited on by two sexy women.
Like we were trying to convince ourselves that this show is like, you know, episodes like A Mock Time and like, you know, City Beyond the Dead Forever. We're
this
like, that's
what
Star
about,
Trek is. But this is more of what the show actually is.
Yeah,
and like,
just a weird horny yeah. fantasy.
Yeah, and
for
like
men who don't
we're trying to constantly drag them away from this, but this is where they live. This is their home.
You're
like,
right.
This place is even better than Leningrad.
Oh my god. Oh man.
Fantastic.
I do like the sets. I think they're mostly Enterprise sets, just with different lighting.
Different lighting, that makes sense.
I think this is the medical bay, and earlier the throne room, I'm pretty sure, is the transporter room.
You may have the services of any number of craftsmen. Exclusive use of the computer facility.
And like,
yeah,
I just feel like...
I think I'm right about that.
It just always feels like they're trying to sell us this thing where it's like, don't humans just want everything fulfilled for them perfectly? And it's like, no, who wants that?
We only wish to make you happy and comfortable, Captain. If we are to serve your kind, we must understand you.
It's such a future problem of like, imagine you had too much luxury in your life. It's like, yeah, we don't, not very relatable for us. Yeah, look, everyone's having a great time. The whole crew's sitting here with big smiles on their face.
Yeah, what is happening?
And it is a very pleasant place, Captain.
What the heck?
Why's she like
it? Nahara!
Oh, nothing really important, just immortality.
Yeah, Uhura would not be won over like this. What? Do you see that?
I don't know. She might be into immortality. I'm not going to claim to know Uhura that well, since she only speaks about twice an episode.
No, she has far too high of like a moral standard.
Yeah, you're right. She's pretty. Has
she
a lot
wants
of integrity.
To be free. Yeah.
Do you require something, Lord?
No. Yes, my ship.
I am not programmed to
respond
in
that
area.
Yes, I know.
Is there anything any of you require to please you?
Avis, give us back our ship to please us. Return us to our ship because we desire it.
We are programmed to serve. We shall serve you to your best interests to make you happy.
But we're unhappy here.
Please explain unhappy.
This is how much Mudd hates them, as he gave them number 471. He's got 500 of them, and he's giving him 471. It's like, and the one that the two that hang out with him are number 1 and 2.
Of course.
Oh, they finally got through to her, it seems like.
The Enterprise is not a want or a desire. It is a mechanical device.
So are you, bitch.
No, it's a beautiful lady, and we love her.
There we go. That is the way Kirk thinks about things.
Illogical. All units relate. All units. Norman, coordinate.
I have to get Norman's opinion on this. Norman, is the Enterprise a beautiful lady? You've been up there.
We must study this.
Interesting. They do seem like they're extremely susceptible to any degree of logical fallacy.
Yeah, so that's good, because that's how we always defeat the robots.
Have you had time to take any psychological readings of the androids?
I did, and you can forget it. They're perfect, flawless, mentally and physically. No weaknesses, perfectly disciplined, no vices, no fears, no faults, just a sense of...
I think their brains are not as good as you're giving them credit for.
Agreed.
I mean, they're mass-producing these things. They can't
be
that.
Yeah, they seem dumb as shit.
Yeah, and they're being built by other robots, so they don't even really know like what to be doing.
A few questions I want to ask you.
Oh, afraid I won't have time to answer them. My bags are all packed.
Somebody just hang out in this gross throne room all day. It's literally a cave. Like,
pleasure having you here, Kurt.
Yeah, nobody here has any taste for what's actually, like, comfortable and beautiful.
You're a stubborn fellow, aren't you? But I don't mind that at all.
Seems like Mudd could have picked some better fall guys, too, you know? Like...
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I guess we don't have an episode otherwise, but it's like, I feel like Kirk would be the last person you'd want to bring here.
Yeah, for real.
Let's go see my nagging wife again.
This is so insane.
Stella, dear.
Hardcore Fenton, Mudd. Have you been drinking again? The way she points at him is so funny. It's like, this is what these men think of women who are writing the show.
Right.
They're like, there's two types of women, the horrible nagging woman or the, like, mindless hot woman. And it's like, god damn.
One is good, the other is bad.
Uh-huh.
I hate women that hold me accountable.
We can no longer take your orders, Harry Mudd.
Why not?
Our makers were wise. They programmed us to serve.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. Put my bags on the ship.
Harry, I think they have something else in mind.
You are correct, Captain.
Man, you can just see this guy's whole package.
That's what, Moose Knuckle, that's what I was saying.
I know, it's just like a lot.
It's like, it's all like, he put him into those tights and he like pulled them all forward. Like normally you would kind of like tuck everything a little back if you were wearing tights, but he's like, it's like, let me get like all like, you know, let
no
me get these balls
here.
Really like squashed up front here. Like,
you will remain on this planet.
Now look here, you can't do that. Now listen, to serve us, you must obey us.
No, my lord Mudd.
Alice number one, obey me, put my bags on that ship!
Ha ha ha, they push him, he fell down.
He fell a very long way.
Cannot allow any race as greedy and corrupt as yours.
He's a little dramatic.
To have free run of the galaxy.
I'm curious, Norman, just how do you intend to stop them?
We shall serve them. Their kind will be eager to accept our service. Soon they will become completely...
kind of similar to the plot of iRobot, actually.
I know, I was thinking that. That's why it's iMud.
Yeah.
We shall take care of them.
Eminently practical.
The whole galaxy controlled by your kind.
Yes, Captain. And we shall serve them, and you will be happy.
But what is their design? Like, what are they? What's the bigger plan if they're going to control everybody?
Don't look too
they're just
closely
gonna make
at the
a,
logic.
A luxury society? Yeah,
it
like.
Not work.
So far, this thing has had its amusing aspects, but.
Mud is so
literally
mad.
Being like, it's been a comedy episode so far, but now we're getting into the
now
real sci-fi
actual
of
conflict.
It. Right? Now there's plot. Wouldn't you all agree?
If we use to stop them, we must make haste. They have only to install some cybernetic devices aboard the Enterprise, and they'll be able to leave orbit.
Why can't they leave orbit now? Whatever, yeah. I actually don't care.
Oh. Why shouldn't they answer our questions? They don't think we can do anything to stop them.
You're so smart, Kirk. You and this pointy-eared thinking machine
Harry,
of yours.
Maybe just take the day off and shut up for
because
once.
Because I'm as anxious to get off this ruddy rock as you are.
I seem to remember that you wanted to leave us on this ruddy rock and leave by
okay,
yourself.
And McCoy, you weren't really enjoying yourself. Y'all are just a bunch of hypocrites this episode. I'm mad about it.
Androids and robots.
Right.
Nobody makes sense. Nobody's brain is working.
No, I mean, the whole concept is so stupid. It's like, what are we even gonna...
It's falling apart, like, in every scene.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
What, in your opinion, does direct them?
There are a large number of Alices, of Trudies, Maisies, Annabelles... And according to my research, a Herman series, an Oscar series, a whole plethora of series, in fact. But only one Norman.
Did he just say a Norman series is one of those?
Herman.
Herman, okay.
Which, as we know, is one of the sexiest names. Loved her. She
yeah.
Norman. Coordinate. Why Norman? Unless...
Function as they do, each android mind must be one component...
So of course, the male robot is the leader of them. I should have known.
Of course.
Of those hundreds of female robots.
Well, and you
no
saw
one, none of the women
how
and none of the Oscars
was,
can be in
so
charge.
So of course he has to be in charge.
You're right, he installed himself with a larger package.
He is literally the big dick player.
That in turn gives us a weapon that we can use against them.
That's why he has to wear those tights so that everyone knows.
Insane, irrational, illogic, aimed right at Norman.
Captain, you sing and dance as well as anyone I've ever seen, but what the devil are you talking about?
what would seem to be a sound and perhaps our only opportunity.
Opportunity?
Now, the orange wedding? This is so funny because it feels like we put like six of these previous episodes into a blender and we're just doing them all
exactly.
At once.
Exactly, yeah.
We're doing
it's
the
like
Mud
an
episode.
AI wrote an episode on Star Trek.
Yeah. We're doing the Mud, we're doing the What Are Little Girls Made Of, and we're doing like every episode where there's like an all-powerful captor.
Wholesome antiseptic galaxy that these animals.
And it's also a little bit of Nomad just for fun.
Yeah. What's the one where everyone's the red hour and everyone's brainwashed?
Yeah.
What can I do?
Nothing.
Anyway.
Go to sleep.
What do you mean? Oh, no.
We're just going to inject Harry Mudd with a hypo and knock him out.
They could have been so much sneakier about it, but they wanted him to know.
So that he could give that wacky performance.
Exactly.
Kirk's back in the throne room.
We have a medical problem. Your ex-lord, Harry Mudd.
He pooped his pants. You will have to care for him. Which I am suggesting that we now dub mudding yourself.
He just mudded the whole
Can you make sure all the robots know that phrase?
If we're not allowed access to our medical equipment, Harry Mudd will die. He will cease to function. You will have failed to serve.
Computing.
He's speaking Morse code to her.
I am directed to observe.
I do love the face they make when they're getting communications from those things. They really
it's
look
like Raven
just
getting
like,
a vision.
Right? It's just like a loading bar, but as an expression. Just like
you're right. It's a spinning wheel.
He is dying.
If you take him to your sick bay, will he be repaired?
Oh, yes.
No. They're lying. It's a trick. Dr. McCoy injected something into Harry Mudd to make him look sick. It's a trick. To get back on board and sabotage the ship.
The request is refused.
Uhura, why did you tell her?
Because I want an android body.
I want. Maybe this is why I forgot this episode and deleted it from my brain. Young and beautiful.
This
better be like part of the plan.
This is because she requested that she get more dialogue, and they're like, okay, alright, sure, we can do that.
They're like, fuck you about it.
Uhura. Beautiful.
Okay.
It was all part of the plan.
I believed it. She's so convincing. And also, I just have no faith in these writers to not make her horrible.
Right. It was a double.
But I was like, no way.
Like any good heist plan, there's a part of the plan where the plan looks like it's failed.
It does. It is heisty. Do you require something? You guys did not say that in perfect unison. Please get out and try again.
Wait, let's try doing it like they did. All right, ready?
Wait, what was the line?
Kirk, do you require something?
Okay,
Kirk.
Ready.
Kirk just sat on the throne, and
do you require something?
Great, I think
we
nailed it.
You sure mudded that. Okay, Chekov and Uhura are dancing, and
Scotty is playing air flute, and Bones is playing air violin.
But it sure is.
Now we're gonna get a close up of that.
There sure are things happening.
They just went like, oh, I'm silly for this episode.
Their captivity.
They were like, oh, what else wacky could everyone do?
They're like, what if he's danced?
I do love this dance they're doing. It's really hilarious.
Music?
That one's a little slower, I guess.
Yeah, she's a stupid one.
See, just like I said, there's no music in this universe.
Thank you, lovely lady. You dance divinely.
Thank you, Hines.
Why does she strike him?
She likes him.
Sorry, so they're just trying to confuse the shit out of these robots.
The floor is no place for an officer. Attention!
Because they want to study humans.
Now stand absolutely still.
Yes, Captain!
Hey!
Now they're jumping up and down.
They're just fucking with them. I'm so obsessed.
They're hilarious.
Chekov is so cute.
Just so as much non-logic as we can manage.
That's awesome. You know this is so upsetting to Spock. That's why Spock's not here. He's like, I can't.
Yeah,
do it.
He couldn't even wrap his head around this shtick.
Hey, This is a hilarious resolution.
How does it look?
Completely under directed. Oblivious to everything.
Good. I wonder how Spock's doing.
Of course. Your computation.
Yeah, they're like, send Spock to the computer. A total
description of the parabolic intersection of dimension with dimension.
Mr. Spock, you have a remarkably logical and analytical mind.
Thank you.
That's what you think. I'm just spewing nonsense.
Just psychobabble.
Yeah, what a funny thing to have him do a bunch of fake technobabble, since obviously it's all fake.
Is there some significance to this action?
These girls are really good at acting like big dolls, though.
They are. They're nailing this part. However, I hate which is good, because they're getting a lot of screen time, so I'm glad that they...
Oh my god, this is so funny.
Yes, of course. That is exactly why I hate you. Because you are identical.
Uh-oh.
He did it.
They're dead.
Going to sleep.
They're flatlining.
Yeah, they are.
All right, it's worked so far, but we're not out yet.
Hey, that's another one of those lines that's in one of those songs that Kern showed us.
Oh, yeah.
Now it is time to get to work on the route.
If Norman is the control center, he should be in a bind by what we've done. If we can overload him further, we should be able to immobilize all of them. Does everybody remember what to do?
Affirmative.
I say no. Acknowledged?
Even Mudd's part of the plan.
This is so cute.
What are you doing here?
I want you to surrender.
That is illogical. We can move more quickly than you. We are invulnerable to attack. We are much stronger.
No, we are stronger. And I'll prove it to you. Can you harm a man that you're programmed to serve?
No.
But you already have, Norman Laddie. Human beings do not survive on bread alone, you poor soul.
Bring it down a little, Mud. I think you're playing it up a little
too much.
Mud
doesn't know how to not oversell it.
For what indeed is a man without freedom? Not but a mechanism trapped in the cogwheels of eternity.
He's right. I hate to say it. You offer
us only yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Food and drink and happiness mean nothing to us. We must be about our job.
Suffering in torment and pain. Laboring without end.
Dying and crying and lamenting over our burdens.
Only this way can we be happy. That is contradictory. It is not logical.
I love that the solution is just to be real silly.
Right.
Explain.
They're like, we have to out-silly the episode itself, don't you see?
See all these
we've
solutions.
Been put into an absurd scenario. The only way to get out is with more absurdity.
Are you sure your circuits are registering correctly? Your ears are green.
Oh, I cannot go on. I'm tired of happiness. I'm tired of comfort and pleasure. I'm ready. Kill me. Kill me.
Now they're all fake killing him. It's just like a 20-minute long improv scene they've been doing.
It
ever
is.
Ever since that wacky dance scene started.
Oh, it's not improv. They rehearsed it.
Yes.
You cannot have killed him. You have no weapons.
Scotty's dead. He had too much happiness.
They must have had a lot of fun filming this episode.
We will miss him.
It's funny because at some level, this must be kind of how they always feel anyway, doing this. They're just like,
yeah,
like,
seriously.
Some of them definitely have a sense of, like, we don't know what the fuck's going on in this show. Like,
that sense of enterprise, that devotion to something that cannot be sensed, cannot be realized, but only dreamed, the highest reality.
He's doing, like, a parody of the way he performs,
he really
too.
Is.
It's like, that's like how I do Shatner.
Uh-huh.
Dreams are not real.
Our logic is to be illogical. That is our advantage. Mr. Spock, it is time. The explosive.
Very well, Captain.
Spock is holding nothing, but claiming it's an explosive.
So silly.
Spock, isn't that too much for our purposes?
I believe that is the correct amount, Captain. Mr. Mudd, are you ready?
Aye, aye.
Well, I would not want you to drop it.
Now he's pretending to catch the fake explosive. I don't know what to say about this episode. This is like entirely too wacky for.
Yeah, this is wild.
It's like I'm just in awe of what's going on.
How did I ever forget this episode?
This is really something.
Maybe I'll forget it again.
Mud is making an imaginary something.
There is no explosive.
No, observe.
Now he's golfing. The robot girl's died again.
Are you all right?
But there was no...
Don't you hate it when one twin is definitely prettier than the other twin?
The worst.
It's so sad. I'm like, it's not fair.
Do you want to be the pretty twin or the ugly twin?
Obviously the pretty twin, are you kidding me? And I am.
You say you are lying.
Oh, okay.
If everything you say is a lie, then you are telling the truth, but you cannot tell the truth because everything...
Oh, his brain is smoking. There's literally smoke coming out of his ears.
Smoke coming out of his brain.
I love how they always solve the problem the same way, but I really love the way they did it this time.
Yeah, this was our most fun confusing a machine yet.
Uh-huh.
As Sam B calls them, the Kirk talks a robot to death episode. Know what he said?
I am not programmed to respond in that area.
Oh boy, he fried his brain. Oh. Do you hear the noise? The sound effects we get to? They're like, boing, 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 boing,
psh. Good.
Kirk, old man, I'm beginning to develop considerable respect for you. Would you consider entering a partnership arrangement with me? I've got some ideas.
A partnership arrangement? You and me?
Yes.
I've got something else in mind. Let's go.
Well, you must...
No, but I promise you another 3 episodes. How do you feel about that, Mud?
I'm totally unfamiliar. You're going to be a member of the crew now.
Well, we found a whole world of minds that work just like yours. Logical. Unemotional. Completely pragmatic. We poor, irrational humans whip them in a fair fight. Now you'll find yourself back among us illogical humans again. Which I find eminently satisfactory, Doctor. For nowhere am I so desperately needed as among a shipload of illogical humans.
Touché.
I've never heard of anything so revolting. We'll soon get to the bottom of this.
Oh, look at these outfits.
Yeah, why didn't we get these earlier? These girls.
Yeah, we got the pink sparkly dresses and green sparkly dresses from the other episode, and we got these red whatever outfits.
Adapt this planet for productive use. They'll begin that work again. But what do I do? Kirk,
they're just going to leave Bud here as their plan.
That's a great punishment.
Provide a first-class example to the androids of a human failure. They'll learn by close observation how to avoid ones like you in the future.
How long?
As long as you continue to be an irritant, Harry. It's up to you.
The punishment fits the crime.
It's like, well, let me see what my wife has to say about this.
For real.
Who also never came back into play, by the
way. Yeah, I assumed that that was going to be part of how they defeated them, but it turns out they just hate women.
It was just a shtick.
As it were, and noting all the different possibilities I could manage... And as the tension...
He really has a type.
He does. He's just walking from one robot to another, talking them all.
And I'm back in the galaxy again.
Yes, you are. Oh, there's one more thing, Harry. We've programmed a special...
Oh, here we go.
Oh, God. Here she comes.
It's his nagging wife.
Uh-huh.
I call that unexpectedly civil of you, Captain.
Yes.
Harcourt, Benson, Mudd, what have you been up to?
He's gonna kill this robot so quickly.
She literally wags her finger at him.
I order you! Shut up, Stella!
Look at the gang. Hey, that's the picture that's on my lunchbox. I have a Star Trek lunchbox that has all the gang on it.
Cute. Oh no, there's two of his wife.
You've done this to me.
He's so dramatic.
Oh no, there's 500 of his nagging wife. Oh my god. This is.
Oh my god.
Does this in the previous episode feel like they're just like trolling Star Trek fans?
It kind of does.
It's like, oh, you like this show? You like this stuff? You big dumb idiots?
For real. Like, oh my god.
I think that's how it's going to end too. Whew. And we leave the pissy planet behind.
Wow.
Oh, maybe we have some last quips to exchange between... Nope, never mind. I spoke too soon.
That was it. There was nothing else to say.
I agree. There was nothing else to say.
Whew.
Well, that was really something.
Sure happened.
Yes, it did. But you know, I hope by making this one, because obviously they've been like repressing a lot of these types of ideas, not very well. Mm-hmm. They've been having these kinds of ideas and kind of like dabbling in them.
Uh-huh.
And this time they really got to like just fully indulge in this sort of a thing that they clearly have some sort of obsession with, these infantile women that have no brains and do whatever you say, sort of a thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, you know, maybe they got that out of their system, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know, maybe they're, maybe that's the last we'll see of that sort of an episode.
Yeah, maybe we had, like, exposure therapy or something. Wow.
Yeah, what a crazy mess that was.
That was, wow.
Yeah, that was wild. And it wasn't, I mean, it was clearly terrible, but it wasn't, like... Mm-hmm. It was terrible in a totally different way than a lot of the other terrible episodes, because often when we have bad episodes, they tend to suffer from, like, a lot of either repeated beats or just nothing happening, and just, like, kind of dumb non-back-and-forths that go nowhere and characters not being able to do anything. And that wasn't what we had here. What we had here was, use Shore Leave, once again, as an example of, like... Of, like, the silly episodes that are
nonsense,
really, like, balls to the wall silly, where they're like, it's not just silly, like, we're going, like, it's not just silly and that's it. Like, we're going silly at, like, 90 miles an hour the entire episode. Like, to the extent that it almost becomes comedy, a really dated comedy, albeit, but...
A comedy, nevertheless.
Yes, yeah. And it was intentionally funny, although not always in the way that they meant it to be.
Yeah.
But they obviously were trying to make it funny.
Yeah, be silly.
Well, let's take it to warp, I guess.
Warp drive, Mr. Scott.
This is the warp speed rating segment where we rank the episode on a scale of, from impulse speed to full warp, roughly a scale of 1 to 10. Where are you at with this, Sammy? What are you thinking?
I'm going to make you go first like I always do.
Like always. It might... Okay. It's not actually the worst episode yet. Like, in terms... All right, it's a really hard one to judge because, like, it is more... It is... In a lot of ways, it is worse than anything we've seen yet. Like, in terms of content, it is really stupid. Like...
Yeah.
But then there... But then it's also... pretty entertaining for a lot of it, honestly. Like...
Yeah.
Like, I was not... really bored during that episode. Like, the sets, they really did a lot with the sets.
Mm-hmm.
And even some of the concepts, like I feel like they did the robot thing and the confusing the robot thing better than they've done in, like, almost any of the previous ones where they've done this. Like, it...
Agreed.
I feel like it had a lot of the stuff from What Little Girls Are Made Of, but improved upon it.
Mm-hmm.
Same with a lot of the Kirk Talks the Computer to Death. They, like, kind of improved on that. So it's not, like, the worst episode. But it's just really profoundly dumb when it is dumb.
Yeah.
It's also fun to watch them do all these nonsense acting things. And Harry Mudd is fun to have around as much as I hate
to
admit it.
I hate to say it, but
he is. He's like a joy on screen. Like, I think I'm actually going to give it a warp 2.
A warp 2?
Yeah. Unprecedented, right?
No.
But I don't know. That's kind of what I'm leaning towards. What are you thinking?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I feel like it's a warp 2 episode. Because there's, honestly, like, it's stupid, but they're embracing the stupid and just, like, having a lot of fun with it. So it's just a really, I can't say it enough times, it's an incredibly stupid episode, but it's pretty fun, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, that stupid moment with Chekhov on the throne, you know, being all like cutesy and stupid. And
it really
just,
is like
clowning. And I love the
really is like Trek at its like Trekkiest, but this side of Trek. But it's like this side has always been there, at least in this version, and it's so indulgent in what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
well, and I love Kirk and Mudd, you know, their relationship, because they have history, you know. So like sometimes I think Kirk is like a bit of a dick right off the bat. It's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. But this time I was like, yeah, this guy deserves to be bullied by Kirk.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
totally. Yeah. Everyone got to kind of do a little bit of thing, too. Almost every character got to do some shtick in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like, oh, like, yeah, they want to do more. Here's some stuff for them to do. So I appreciated that we got the whole cast there and, like, doing things.
And they had some, like, fun effects to make it look like there were a bunch of people there, which is pretty impressive, you know, the sets.
Especially for
good.
The time, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great costumes. It's stupid, but it was a lot of fun.
It's stupid and it's too long, too. It's, like, it's,
in the middle,
know,
it gets
bunch
annoying.
A bunch of scenes that are, like, achieved
all of
their
them,
purpose
like,
and then go on for another 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, my biggest beef is them being, like, won over by the situation. Like, they'd be like, actually, this is pretty great, because I don't think that's what would go down. I think that all of them would be with Kirk, where they'd be like, okay, this is fine, but let us go back to our ship, you know? I think it's stupid.
I liked it
because
it created better, I guess, conflict within the team, but they didn't really go anywhere with it. They don't really go anywhere with hardly anything in this episode, so it's hard to...
Yeah.
It's hard to point to any... There's so many dumb moments, it's hard to point to any given dumb moment of it.
And, like, it was cute that Uhura, like, pretended that she wanted an android body, but didn't really, but that happened for no reason, you know? It's just to make us go, Uhura, no, you know?
Right, which they had a lot of those types of moments. You know, better than not doing anything, I guess. So it's like, I'll take a 1 minute long misdirect over just a techno babble, whatever, some of the stuff they do in some of these other boring episodes. So like, they're taking swings, you know, they're not hitting, but it's, you know, it's a lot of swing and a miss, but a lot of swings. Mm-hmm. And give them credit for that, I guess. Yeah, it's a 2. I bet, I feel like if anything, people are going to think we're being too forgiving of it, but
No, I feel, I don't know. It was fun.
It is fun. Plus, I love robots. I did mention that even at the start of the episode, even before knowing this was a robot episode. Like, so, yeah. So that's where we're at. Warp 2, everybody. Let us know your thoughts on the episode, though. Let us know if you think it deserves even worse than that. Or if this is one of your favorite episodes, you know,
God
let
forbid.
Us know. Yeah. And, you know, are you more of a Trudy or more of an Annabelle?
Let us know.
Let us know. Let's
I'm
let's
a Barbara
this.
Myself.
Hmm. Those are the high end sexy ones.
Oh, I know.
I'm more of a Herman than a Norman, I think.
Mary, kill Ponfar!
All right, everybody, it's time for Mary Kill Ponfar, where I present to Alex 3 characters from the episode that we just watched, and he picks 1 person to marry, 1 to kill, and 1 to commit to Ponfar with. All right, Alex, got some candidates for you today, and that's all I'll say. Behind door number 1, we have Alice's 1 through 500.
Hey,
they
do I get all 500 of them?
Package deal, yep,
oh,
for better
wow.
and for worse.
Okay, just
behind,
like he had. Oh, man.
Behind door number 2, we have Herman's 1 through 500.
Oh, no. Okay,
and behind
yeah, all right.
door number 3, we have just 1 lone Captain Kirk, of course.
Okay. Oh boy. Well,
And remember, if you kill all of the Hermans, you are technically committing genocide.
That's a good point. Okay, I think I'm gonna kill Kirk.
Wow.
I'll take the robot armies to pleasure me, and I think I'll. It's funny because I like make fun of all the show writers for being so sexist for putting this in, like you know, being like, "Oh, 500 robot women who do whatever you want." I'm like, "These sexist pigs, they're disgusting."
And
then like,
well, like
I'm presented
no.
with the option, and I'm like, "Well, I mean, if they're there, like you know,
it's better than Leningrad."
I don't get that.
Chekhov said that
but,
earlier.
Oh, that's right. Yes, better than Leningrad, indeed. Yep, so I'm going to marry the robot ladies, and then every 7 years, I'll have a day of all 500 robot. Yeah,
just a really gay
an orgy
day.
With a bunch of robot men. But then I go back to another 7 years of just the women.
That sounds like a good plan. I respect that.
Yeah, sounds like a good time. Almost wish Pondfart came more often, but oh well.
Damn.
That's all right. I'll enjoy what I got. So, yeah, what do you think? Did I make the right choice?
Not in my opinion. Of course, I'm marrying Captain Kirk because he is a person with a personality, which I find attractive in a spouse. No shade, though. And then
if you put someone I was more interested in, I might have gone along those lines, too. Fair. But it's just Kirk. I was like, yeah. Kirk's not exactly my dream guy.
I'm pawnfarring with all of the Alices because I feel like you really only need 500 women every couple years. You know, you don't want to overdo it. It would get really old, I feel like. And then I'm killing the Hermans like they because they were a pretty weak model.
Like, you know, they're just doing the broad strokes here, but it's like, if you could have, like, every part of your day taken care of, it's like, mm-hmm. that goes a long way. Like, then you could really just focus on, like, the important things, you know?
That's fair, but it's not for
which,
me.
Who knows what the important things are when you can only be married to a robot. Apparently, relationships are not important things in this context. So, yeah. But I get a lot of work done, I bet.
Yep.
Because I teach them to do my work for me. This is starting to sound kind of boring, actually. Wait, I regret this! Don't leave me here! No! So, yeah, any closing thoughts?
Damn, I think we've already said more about this episode than there even is to say.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think there's not...
We've already given it more attention than it deserves.
Yeah, we've already put more thought into it than the writers did. Like,
exactly, you know, yep.
Yeah, so why... Yep, why...
Why yeah. beat a dead 500 androids?
Exactly.
Sorry, Herman.
Right. So until next time, then, live fast...
And get fucked.
Thanks for listening to Star Trek The Original Siblings. Follow the show on social media, on Instagram and Twitter at STOSibsPod, or send us a subspace message at STOSibsPod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the show, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're at it, rate us 5 stars, or maybe write us a nice review. Tune in next time, and until then, live long and prosper.